from stpetecatalyst.com.
Hi, I'm Bill DeYoung, and this is Arts Alive, the podcast of the St. Pete Catalyst. Today, I am joined by Katrina Stevenson, who is an actor, actress, if you will, that we all know and love from her years with Jobsite Theater. 24 years, I guess, now, since the first show?
This is our 25th anniversary season.
You're in True West, right, in 2000?
True West, right in January of 2000. It was my first show. I mean, I did see the first couple of Jobsite shows. I was still at grad school. But, yeah, so I feel like I've been there since the beginning.
Yeah, well, you know, one of the things that I love about Jobsite is, you know, you always know when you see yourself or Giles or Nicole or Paul, you know, so it's like you say, okay, I know I'm getting a Roxanne. I'm getting a really good caliber show here, you know. I'm never disappointed. We're here to talk this week about The Beauty Queen of Lenoir, which is opening this week at Jobsite. I was fortunate enough to see a rehearsal this week. They let me in the backstage tour, and it is phenomenal. You play Maureen. It's Follin?
Follin.
Okay. 40-ish woman growing up in a small town in County Galway, is it?
It's County Galway. Just outside the town of Lenoir in the area of Connemara.
And everybody has a very thick Irish accent.
Yes.
And it's a very cool show. It's written by Martin McDonagh, who we know from, of course, In Bruges and Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Minnesota. It's Minnesota?
Missouri.
Okay. Well, see, there I go. I wrote it down wrong. And he also, of course, wrote and directed The Banshees of Inisherin, which was a tremendously popular film. But he's also a playwright. And from what I understand, this was his first show.
This was his first big, you know, that made it in Ireland and then was later transferred to the West End and then was later on Broadway. The Banshees of Inisherin, which is a brilliant film, you need to see this if you have not, was originally workshopped as a play. And I only found that out after I saw the film. And I was like, no, Martin, I want to do this. I want to do this so bad. Make it into a play again.
This is not the first time Jobsite's done this. As David Jenkins has pointed out, this particular season is sort of revisiting greatest hits kind of thing.
It is. And we love Martin McDonagh.
Sure. It's like fifth or sixth show of his you've done, I think.
We've done most of them. We didn't do like the last one that he wrote. His sensibilities match our sensibilities, where they're very real, vulnerable people. Dark, dark comedy. Really dark comedy.
Yeah.
You know, a little bit of violence, a little bit of sex, a little bit of all of that. But, you know, and the Irish plays, there are some of us that, you know, love, you know, the plays that come out of Ireland. And McDonagh just hits that sweet spot.
The language is so salty and straight on.
Yep. And dark and edgy without, like, lots and lots of religious overtones. So.
Yeah, but it's funny.
Oh, it's hilarious.
It's darkly funny. Yeah. Let's give a shout out to Roxanne Fay, your character, as we said, her name is Maureen, but Roxanne plays your mother, who is quite the crusty character.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, and this is a very interesting play. You're a big McDonagh fan, obviously. When this came along, was this the kind of thing that you would lobby to say, I want to play Maureen? Or did David come to you and say, I think you can do this?
Well, when we initially did this show, what was it, 23 or something
years ago?
It was
2003.
Okay, so it was a very, very long time ago.
Right.
I fell in love with it. And, you know, Paul, who directed it, you know, let me audition. And then afterwards, he was like, you're just too young.
Oh, what does this say?
I know. And I was like, okay, I get it. And then all of a sudden, they wanted to do it again. And I was like, this is now my chance to do the show.
Yeah. You like doing that accent?
Oh, I love doing the Irish accent. Yeah. It's, you know, I've done works by Brian Friel. I've done other McDonagh works. And it sits in a nice, happy place in my heart.
I love it because it's not sort of the Lucky Charms Irish accent. I mean, it's very thick. It's very in Bruges, you know. It's very much you can hardly understand it sometimes. It took me a minute to tune into what you guys were talking about.
You do have to adjust your ear to it. But if you ever visit that area of Ireland, it's thicker. When I visited like Doolin and Galway and Connemara area, there were times where I'm like, I know you're speaking English. I couldn't understand a word because also this is an area of the country where they will quite often switch into Gaelic and talk amongst themselves in Gaelic, and it's still very much alive there. So, yeah, we actually had to tame down some of the dialect just to make it understandable.
Well, if I learned anything from television, it's that when somebody that you're in the midst of lapses into their home language, they're making fun of you.
Yes.
Oh, those bastards.
Yes. Yeah, you know, I tried not to be an American tourist while I was there, but you just stand out so much.
Oh, sure. Well, you've got, you know, the red hair and, you know, and you can do the accent. So the Beauty Queen of Lenoir, which opens, I can't remember which day it opens.
Open Friday. We start previews on Wednesday.
Okay. Well, Wednesday has already happened by the time folks are listening to this. So it opens technically tonight.
Okay. It opens tonight.
It opens tonight.
On St. Patrick's Day, as it were.
Oh, that's right. Is that why David planned this one first?
No, it just happened that way.
How cool.
Yeah.
So the other members of the cast, of course, are David Jenkins as Pat O'Dooley.
Pat O'Dooley.
Pat O'Dooley. And I thought it was Pat O'Dooley, but his name is Pato, which I thought was very cool.
Well, it's a nickname for Patrick.
Of course. Yeah. Well, you know, I love that you have – there's a glossary on the online program, which I was – in intermission, I was going, oh, that's – And it explains everything that they're saying. And it's very handy, folks. Let me put that. Also want to give a shout out to,
Blake Smellin.
Blake. I couldn't think of Blake's name. Sorry, buddy. Who plays Ray, who, is, his brother, I guess.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Who's Pato's brother. And this 4-member cast is really astonishing. And it's a brilliant play. And it's a great example of one of the things that Jobsite does best, which is just sort of throw all this stuff into a pot and stir. And see what you come up with when you combine all this talent. Did you do the costumes for this one as well?
I did. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. You know, usually I like the fantastical ones that you have to build and sew a bunch of stuff for, but you know, I have done all of the McDonough plays. Every time Paul directs it, I'm like, let me just costume it. So it's a really good chance to bring out, you know, all the sweaters and, you know, woolen things and.
You're a professional costume designer. I mean, you've been doing this a long time. Is that something you also went to school for?
I did. Mm-hmm. When I was getting my bachelor's in performance studies, I was doing my work study in the costume shop. And then I basically took, you know, every single costume and costume design class and I fell into it. Jobsite, when I got here, needed, you know, somebody to do costumes, and I just kind of fell into that a little bit more. And so now I've done, you know, costumes on both sides of the bay and, you know, and I teach costume construction and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah.
You're originally from, I want to say, Colorado?
High school, undergrad in Colorado. But my formative years were in California, you know.
Well, I heard in your voice.
Yeah, back in the 80s. That's where, you know, my primitive, you know, years were.
She's doing the California voice, a Valley Girl voice. How'd you end up at University of Florida?
I went to the University Resident Theater Association auditions for grad schools. Mm-hmm. So a bunch of the major grad programs all around the country audition in one place. You know, I had offers from the University of Nebraska at Lincoln and Arizona State, and, you know, a bunch of other places. And UF's program was, at the time, what I really needed. I just wanted more experience, and especially more experience working with contemporary realism. Mm-hmm. I, you know, every time there was a musical or a Shakespeare or a period play, you know, I was cast, but I had never done just realism. And it took my second year of grad school doing Hurley Burley to really be able to sink my teeth into that. And to
why does that appeal to you so much?
Well, it appealed to me so much. Well, because not everybody does, you know, the School for Scandal. They just don't do period plays like that as much. And as an actor, what I was lacking, what I felt less confident in was real vulnerability in front of an audience. Mm-hmm. And a lot of period plays, I could, you know, you can do the costumes and you can do the walk and, you know, the timing of this and that and the Shakespeare, you know, I can pull down the, you know, the stone walls, but just talking.
Yeah.
And having that inner connection as opposed to creating a character on the outside.
Is that more of a challenge for an actor?
It depends on the actor. Some of them just immediately go for the gut and And then you have to work to shape the voice, to shape the body, to create that, you know, to make the pictures on stage. Mm-hmm. And then I find that there's another vein of actor who they can do, you know, they can learn all the voice and the diction and, you know, how you walk and how you sit and opening out to the audience and finding that interconnection and, you know, allowing yourself to be in those moments as a real person. That's frightening for some of us.
That makes sense. I mean, you've described yourself to me as an introvert.
Oh, I am very much so. Yes.
So it must be, you know, I mean, the obvious thing for an actor is to say, well, I become somebody else and then I don't have to be me anymore.
Yes.
But this is to sort of parrot, if you will, real life must be a little trickier and more of a challenge.
Yes. And, you know, I grew up as a dancer and all of those things. So I knew how to create an external image. And it really took, oh God, it was years ago doing, Dead Man's Cell Phone, play by Sarah Rule with David Jenkins as the director. I had this, you know, scene, you know, monologue kind of, a bit going on, and he just kept every day finding new ways to strip off my bag of tricks. So, you know, all of the funny, big, all of that, and just start, and it was one of those where it was like one rehearsal where I just started bawling. And I was like, what is going on? And
I'm an actor now.
Well, and then I was like, that's power, but it's still not me. It's being around supportive, generous human beings who you don't feel like you're being judged. You don't feel like you have to immediately come up with a product. Being around a group of artists who believe the process is almost more important, because if you allow the process to happen and the soup to be made, you know, you put all the ingredients together and stir them up. And then maybe the end result isn't necessarily what you thought it was going to be, but it is more powerful because the artists created it.
That was said very beautifully, and that, in a nutshell, is what I was trying to, like, in a dopey way, say about job site before, that it's very much like, you know, it's recess at the asylum. It's like everybody, we're talking about Jeremy Douglas and David, of course, and Paul. Oh my God, it's so much talent. You met David Jenkins at UF, is that right? Maybe in your last year there?
It was his last year, my first year.
So he's old.
He's always going to be older than me.
Yeah.
And I had to do an internship as part of my grad program, and I didn't know where to go, what to do. I didn't have, you know, like family financing. Go to New York and be an intern.
Right.
And he had just started this theater company, and I was like, well, let me just do that for 6 months. I'm like, he's a cool kid. Looks like they're doing cool stuff. Let me just go do that. And I haven't left.
Not to put too fine a point on it, but that was something I was thinking about. Like you said, you've done costume work across the bay here and around. Have you worked with other companies?
Yeah. No, I've been on stage with American Stage. I've been on stage with Stageworks. I've done, it's just usually job site gets me first. You know, so I kind of get booked ahead of time. And then also it just kind of depends on what my other work obligations are, I can rehearse during the days or that kind of a situation. But
and you're a teacher as well, you said that you've been
I adjunct teach at St. Petersburg College with the great, brilliant, wonderful Scott Cooper.
Oh, there you go.
And so, you know, it's just, you know, you get stuck into different schedules, and so, but yeah, I'm like, whoever wants me can have me. But
here's what I wrote down. Okay, I mean, this season so far, we saw you in Rosie and Guildy.
Mm-hmm.
I say, look at me. I'm in the in crowd here. Rosencrantz and Guildenstern are dead. Mm-hmm. Revising your Ophelia, which we're going to get to in a minute. Reviving Ophelia, as the book says. You were in Frankenstein, which is one we'll never forget. But the season before that, not only were you in Hamlet as Ophelia, you design costumes for pretty much everything else. Yep. Let's be sure and put that out there. But you were also in Alice, which was a total – Alice was so cool because it was a total job site creation.
Yes.
You take this glob of Lewis Carroll and say, what can we make out of this?
Yeah, no, that was a kick in the pants, man. It was so much fun.
Yeah.
And also last season, I also played Dr. Van Helsing in Dracula.
Did I leave Dracula off here?
Yeah,
I didn't write it down. Of course you
can't
did.
Can't miss that one.
Of course you did. And you, that was such a weird show. Every time I see Paul Potenza,
you know
I look
it's
at him
be
and
weird.
I'm like, you know, when I saw him yesterday or whenever I saw your show, mm-hmm. there's Paul, and he's like, hey, how are you? And I'm just thinking about like all the faces. which brings me to Shockheaded Peter, which you guys did a couple of years ago. And that one, you were on the Silks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Can we talk about that? Because this is another thing that this lady does. Yeah. She's an aerialist. And how'd you get interested in that stuff?
Well, funny enough, I was dragooned into learning aerials a couple years ago.
Ooh, there's a word you don't hear a lot, dragooned.
I know. I like my big words. We were getting ready to do Shakespeare's The Tempest. Mm-hmm. I really wanted to play the role of Ariel because, you needed a highly physical actor who could also do Shakespeare. And I'm like, me. And David came up to me and he's like, have you ever seen that, like, Ariel Silks thing that people do on fabric? Wouldn't that be cool? And at the time,
you sound just like him.
Yeah. And at the time I was like, I know a couple of people who do circus, so I know how difficult it is.
You did this for work.
Well,
wow.
Yeah. And I was like, I thought was I'll take a couple classes and go, there's no way. I'm an old person. There's no way I can actually do that. That requires a lot of upper body strength and stuff. And again, you know, I had a dancer background. I worked out. I wasn't, you know, like a couch potato. I loved it.
Wow.
And so, yeah, I learned how to do it for The Tempest and then just kept doing it. And, so I've performed, you know, like really hard aerial routines, when you have like, 30 foot, ceilings. But then also, Midsummer Night's Dream, we brought it back, and then there were five of us who were aerialists on stage, and then again for Shockheaded Peter, and again for Alice.
Yep.
And it's, when I first saw a Cirque du Soleil show, I was like, I don't know what this is. It's circus, right? That's like tigers and, I don't know, clowns. But the way you
like the rest of life.
Yeah,
tigers and clowns.
Tigers and clowns.
Right.
But the way you can weave a story with non-traditional storytelling, so through music, through movement, through dance, and then you throw circus in there, and that's just a crowd stopper. Job site, we've done some of them, and then we've really started making a commitment to doing work where you tell a story in a non-traditional way. And we do that by bringing in artists of various backgrounds, musicians, composers, lyricists, dancers, and just kind of going, what are we going to make? What can you do? You want to do that there? Shockheaded Peter ended up with a tap dance number because we had two tappers in the show.
I've told David this was the weirdest thing I'd ever seen.
Oh, yeah.
Website, man.
But you couldn't take your eyes off it.
Well, yeah. I'm thinking about Amy Gray with those long fingernails.
The Germans make some interesting stories.
I love those Germans. I tell you what. Let's close out by talking once again about the Beauty Queen of Lennon because it is quite a great example, as I was trying to say before, of what I think job site does best. It's just all these cooks stirring this pot, all these different people. How different is it from the 2003 version, which, you saw?
Yeah.
I didn't see it. I wasn't here then. Yeah.
I vaguely remember it. I mean, honestly, I costumed it, but I can still hear, because David Jenkins actually played Ray Dooley. So he played his younger brother.
Yeah.
And, I don't know. I really don't know. I'm a very, very different actress than Colleen McDonnell. Roxanne is a very different actress than Diana Rogers. And we have found our own story to tell. It's a mother and a daughter. The play obviously gives you a framework. But also my relationships, our relationships as actors, I think has taken it in different directions.
I can see that. I can see where you would say that.
Yeah, this Maureen is very constantly wants to escape and lives even, while having fights with her mother. There's a part of her that is always being pulled out into her own, you know, fantasy world about, you know, oh, what about doing this and what about doing this? Yeah. So I can only create the piece that
yeah, I know.
Can.
I kind of left you hanging there
that's
with
okay.
that one, but that's yeah. It is truly worth seeing. We should mention, as we sometimes forget to do, that Jobsite Theater is the resident theater company of the David A. Straz Center for the Performing Arts over there in Tampa on the river by Curtis Exon Waterfront Park.
My next big project is I am costuming the Rocky Horror Show.
Oh, when is that? That's the summer.
That's in July.
Yeah, that's the summer show.
So yeah, my summer is a little bit light. I'm also costuming Wonderful Town over at St. Petersburg College.
Oh, nice.
And then we'll pick up in September with the new season. And I have to tell you, the way it's shaping up, it's going to be amazing.
Oh, cool. So this is, when does it get announced? June or something?
I don't know. Sometimes it's March. Sometimes it's over the summer. It really kind of depends on when we secure the rights to the pieces and whatnot.
And you guys, the artistic associates, you guys all sort of talk about this.
Yeah, we
right?
do.
I mean, David is the buck stops here guy.
Yeah, but he loves, you know, when we come in with suggestions and ideas and and the last couple of years, the season just kind of shapes itself based on what we want to do and then also the climate of the area at the time. Because as we all know, the arts, you know, scene changes year to year, and we never know what's going to happen.
I think the first time I met you was right before, a year or two before COVID, and then I know we had talked several times about, you know, how I've talked with a lot of folks about how they were getting through the whole COVID thing as artists sitting at home, you know, twiddling their thumbs, which is not really the way the way it's supposed to be for artists.
No.
Hey, folks, the Beauty Queen of Lenon runs from March 13th, which was actually 2 days ago, previews, opens tonight at Jobsite Theater and runs through April 7th. And you want to go to Jobsite Theater, that's E-R, the way it's supposed to be spelled, .org. Katrina Stevenson, always a pleasure.
Thank you, Bill.
We'll see you down the road.
Yes.
From stpetecatalyst.com.